Now, I'm delighted to say that joining me on the line again this month is Mel Shanley from Quantum Life in Dungarvan. And good morning to you, Mel. Come here. Today, we are going to have a chat about inflation, which is, I think, the bugbear of everyone at the moment, and investments. How is inflation affecting everybody at the moment, Mel?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not an economist and I'm not a scientist. I don't have a third level education in economics or inflation, but I think anybody that has been around for quite some time will see how inflation is affecting people in their ordinary everyday lives. I think what's happening at the moment, though, is there's a little bit of, like, if you read the newspapers or listen to some of the commentators, like, there's a bit of dramatics around the whole thing, isn't there? I mean, it seems to be like doom and gloom predicting the end of the world with this whole inflation thing. And when you look at it, yes, certainly prices have gone up in certain items, but, you know, like, does it really, really, really mean as much as they say it does to the ordinary everyday Joe and Mary soap at the moment? I'm not so sure.
Well, I suppose the argument to that isn't anyone listening to this at the moment who's spending an extra 40 or 50 quid a week on their groceries and an extra 40 quid to fill a tank of petrol or diesel and looking ahead to September. I mean, there will be people listening to this going, yeah, absolutely. People are struggling at the moment. And all this doom and gloom that's coming, I think a lot of it as well is off the back of COVID. I think we kind of felt that we got through COVID. It's time to celebrate. And here we are now. And financially and economically, we're getting really worried. And has it all got to do with the war, Mel? Or is it a combination of the war in Ukraine and COVID? Was it just a perfect storm? Or is it a bit of an opportunity for people just to inflate their prices?
Yeah, you would have to think that there's something kind of slippery is probably the wrong term to use, but certainly in relation to fuel. Like, if you talk to the people at the very top of the tree, they'll tell you there's no shortage of fuel in the world, none whatsoever, okay? And that would be borne out by, you know, you can go around the world and you can see that somebody is paying for a litre of diesel in certain parts of the world and what they're paying for it in the forecourts of Cork and Waterford and these places. There's no comparison, and like that can't be right. Do you know what I mean? It just can't be right that the same fuel that's coming out of the same hole in the ground in South America or Southern Europe or Africa or the Far East is the same fuel that we're paying for at our pumps. And even in an Ireland perspective, like, you could pay up to 15 cent a litre more for the same litre of fuel in Dublin as you would in Kerry. And sure, that can't be right. Sure can't.
No, something isn't adding up. And fuel is certainly one of the bone of contentions for a lot of people, because obviously there is something the government could do on it. There is a tax that they could reduce on it that would make an immediate difference to people. And then off the back of that, you have companies like Electric Ireland coming on again last week and saying, look, forget the 25% increase that we just put on ye. Now we're going to put another 10% increase on ye in August as well. And there is this feeling that where did this stop? Because the cost of living is going up, but the living wage is not going up. So it's not comparable. It's not like for like. It's not like we're all getting an extra 100 quid in our wage packet at the end of the week. We are not. And it's very hard for people to see an end to this at the moment.
Yeah, and I suppose that leads in nicely to the whole idea of, you know, what inflation means in the big picture for people. Like, certainly people who drive for a living are noticing that it's costing them more to get to work than it did 6 months or a year ago. There's no doubt about that. And how do you counteract that? Well, oh, you change jobs, you work from home. It's not that simple, as you well know. So there are certain elements of the economy that people are going to find it very, very difficult to deal with. Certainly in relation to energy, I've absolutely no doubt, and I'm certainly not lecturing at anyone, I'm speaking for myself. I certainly, with the cost of electricity going up, I can certainly make changes in my life that will help to mitigate that or will help to cancel that out. Because, you know, I leave the telly on half the night. I leave this thing plugged in and switched on. I don't turn this thing off when I should. I do this. I've huge bad habits in relation to the burning of energy. And I know if I educate myself on it and discipline myself, I can make massive cuts in the amount of energy that I use, and that's going to reflect in my bills. So there's an awful lot of things that we can do, let's say, to fight back against, you know, like, you know, definitely the cost of groceries. You know, there are certain supermarkets out there that you can shop in, which I do regularly. And, you know, you'll get fantastic value for money. You might have to switch brands and you might have to change shopping habits of a lifetime. But there are certainly shops out there that if people want to make change, there are savings to be made. You know, there's people that are buying materials the whole time to do with their business and their work or whatever. I see a huge migration now back to, if you remember back to 2008, 9, 10, that big crash, the amount of business being done on Dundeal, adverts.ie, boards.ie, all of these second-hand marketplace swap-type websites where people were able to buy materials and items at greatly reduced prices if you go and look for them, you see. And I think that's the world we're living in now. The Irish people and people outside of Ireland even are now finding themselves, they're being forced to look elsewhere where they haven't done for years, you know, because there was plenty of money there. They had a good job. Everything was freely available. They didn't have to make those difficult choices. Now the difficult choices are going to have to be made. I'm going to burn timber next winter predominantly instead of coal. I'm going to go and buy myself a tree off of a farmer down the road. It's going to cost me €250 to buy a tree, and that tree is going to heat my house for the winter. You know, and we have the arguments about turf and things up in the Midlands, people giving out about not being able to cut it. You can be certain sure that anybody that traditionally cut turf and stacked it in their garages and sheds for the winter, they're already on that as we speak. So people are certainly fighting back against this whole thing. I suppose they shooting themselves in the foot, the government, like, the truth of it is that they're probably on average taking in somewhere in the region of about €300 million per month in taxation from fuel in this country, right? So already this year, they have taken in €2 billion in taxes from fuel. €2 billion. Like, that's astonishing, you know? So I suppose, being a little bit cynical, they announced these measures there last night. They're going to bring the budget forward. They're going to bring a package of €6 billion to help with people to get over this particular crisis. And some might say easy for them, because they're taking it off of us at the likes of the petrol pumps, and then they're giving it back to us in whatever way they're going to do this now in September. So look, we're in this political storm where, you know, there's 50 excuses of why inflation is there. People are profiteering, there's no doubt about that. People are charging too much for their work. You know, people are going on strike, necessarily or possibly unnecessarily. There's so much happening. Of course, there is the war in Ukraine. There is the threat of food supply and energy supply and all of those things. But I suppose us as a people, we have to, like the French, I mean, you know, if you follow the French are very intolerant to that kind of nonsense. They don't accept that kind of thing. Irish people accept it and they say, okay, this is the way it is. I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to drive on. But I suppose it is time now for us as a people to say, right, okay, you know, I'm not happy with the way that that government is running that particular component of the economy. And the next time round, maybe let's make a change.
Just staying on the financial aspect of it at the moment, Mel, you mentioned there the crash that we had in 2008, 2009, 2010. Should people now start safeguarding their finances in anticipation of another crash, or is there any signs that there will be a crash off the back of this?
Well, here's the positive things to end my rant, I suppose we'll call it today. The positive things out of this are not everyone is doing badly, okay? Not every sector of the economic cycle is in trouble. Okay, inflation, you know, there's always opportunity, you know, out of, you know, when there's something negative happens, you know, natural law, there's always something positive comes out of it. That's just the way it is. Recession follows progression, positive follows negative. That's just the way the wheel turns. But the one thing that's positive about this is that inflation and peaking, and it could peak at 9.5% or 10% in July. Right now, some are saying, "Oh, it's going to go on till September, and October, August, and September." who knows? Nobody has a crystal ball. But certainly in the last 40 or 50 years, the rate of inflation in Ireland has never been as high as it is. So you would expect that it's coming nearer to a peak. When we get to that threshold where people say, enough, you know, enough. And once we get to the stage where people say enough, or governments say enough, or suppliers are whoever says enough, then the opportunities start. That's so. On a positive note, there is no real problem in the financial system. You know what I mean? There is no credit issue. There is no over-borrowings, overstretching by banks. There's no black holes there, like in 2008, where banks and financial institutions were doing things that nobody understood. They were investing and printing money and buying assets that were worthless, and that's why we had that financial crash. So the positive news today is that there isn't any systemic, you know, issues or problems within the financial system. So, like, that's pretty sound. And if you look at the Irish economy as a whole, like, you know, we have very, very good employment numbers. There are sad stories around the country. Some places are closing down and they're being hit by post-COVID problems, etc., etc. But as a generalization, there's good employment levels. You know, people are earning reasonable salaries. Yes, inflation is creeping in and people are starting to hurt. But, you know, you have to expect that this isn't going to last forever. The opportunities are there. From an investment point of view, opportunities are there in a post-inflation. When inflation peaks, that's the time to get into investing. That's the time. So talk to your advisors, talk to your accountants, your financial advisors, your tax advisors. Seek out the opportunities, because, you know, it isn't all doom and gloom. You know, there are issues and problems. But the message I want to leave today is, amongst all the noise that's out there, and there is an awful lot of noise at the moment, stick your head above the parapet, have a look around, see where the opportunities lie, and go for it.
On that positive note, Mel, we'll leave it there. Mel Shandy of Quantum Life, thanks, Mel, for joining me today.
Thank you.